الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد. All praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions and all those who follow them on their righteous path until the day of judgment. Verse number 188 in Surah Al-Baqarah from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولا تأكلوا أموالكم بينكم بالباطل وتدلوا بها إلى الحكام لتأكلوا فريقا من أموال الناس بالإثم وأنتم تعلمون. Someone kindly read the interpretation of the meaning in English, please. 188.
بسم الله. الإثم أكثر من another property unjustly in any legal way. Stealing right and deceiving each other, nor give bribery to the rulers, that is, before presenting your case, that you be knowingly taken up a part of property of others sinfully.
Okay, barakallahu fiqh. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله أي ولا تأخذوا أموالكم أي أموال غيركم. أضافه إليهم لأنه ينبغي للمسلم أن يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. Allah says, do not take your wealth, meaning others' wealth. But it was used in this fashion because the Muslim is supposed to love for his brother what he loves for himself. So even though it's other people's money, so don't do this to your money and it's your brother's money, because your money and his money, in terms of, not in reality, his money is not your money and your money is not his, but in terms of your care, your protection, you know, you trying to protect your brother's rights, then his money and your money should be the same. Rather, you should love for him what you love for yourself. So this is what is intended. وَيَحْتَرِمُ مَالَهُ كَمَا يَحْتَرِمْ مَالَهُ. And you should respect your brother's wealth the same way you respect your own wealth. وَلِأَنَّ أَكْلَهُ لِمَالِ غَيْرِهِ يَجْرُؤُ أَوْ يُجَرِّئُ غَيْرُهُ عَلَى أَكْلِ مَالِهِ عِنْدَ الْقُدْرَةِ. And his consumption of someone else's wealth will make it means for others to consume his wealth when they are able to do so. وَلَمَّا كَانَ أَكْلُهَا نَوْعَيْنَ نَوْعًا بِالْحَقِّ وَنَوْعًا بِبَاطِلِ. And when consuming money was of two kinds, one which is in truth and one which is in falsehood. وَكَانَ الْمُحَرَّمْ إِنَّمَا هُوَ أَكْلُهَا بِالْبَاطِلِ قَيَّدَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِذَلِكَ قَيَّدَهُ تَعَالَى بِذَلِكَ. And the forbidden one is the one that is the one that you're not allowed to consume, the forbidden wealth. He made it conditioned, Allah conditioned the verse with that by saying بِالْإِثْمِ. بِالْإِثْمِ meaning in sin, in wrongdoing. وَيَدْخُلُ بِذَلِكَ أَكْلُهَا أَوْ أَكْلِهَا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْغَصْبِ وَالسَّرِقَةِ وَالْخِيَانَةِ فِي وَدِيعَةٍ أَوْ عَارِيَةٍ أَوْ نَحْوِ ذَلِكَ. Included in that is to consume someone's wealth by غصب, forcing it, forcing your money, their money, and taking it away. سَرِقَة robbery, theft. خِيَانَة treachery. في وديعة in something that they entrust you with, you know, keep this thing for me, barakallahu fiqh, and then you never give it back. أو عارية or something that they allow you to borrow, they lend you something for you to borrow and give it back. أو نحو ذلك or whatever similar to that. ويدخل فيه أيضا أخذها على وجه المعاوضة بمعاوضة محرمة. Included is trying to take it as means of replacement due to another unlawful replacement, كعقود الربا والقمار كلها فإنها من أكل المال بالباطل, such as the riba, usury transactions, and gambling, والقمار. All of this, consuming that kind of wealth, is forbidden. لأنه ليس في مقابلة عوض مباح, because it is not as means of replacement in business transactions, that is, for something that is lawful. ويدخل في ذلك أخذها بسبب غش في البيع والشراء والإيجار ونحوها. Included in that is taking someone's wealth through buying or selling or rental and so on and so forth. ويدخل في ذلك استعمال الأجراء وأكل أجرتهم الأجراء وأكل أجرتهم. Included in that is hiring employees and then not paying them their due right. Hiring employees and then consuming their ujra, their salary. وكذلك أخذهم أجرة على عمل لم يقوموا بواجبه. Similarly, them taking money or salary for jobs they did not do, for jobs which they did not do. ويدخل في ذلك أخذ الإجرة على العبادات والقربات التي لا تصح حتى يقصد بها وجه الله تعالى. Included is taking taking money or a payment for acts of worship and things that are supposed to be intended initially to be for the sake of Allah, things that only Allah's face and countenance should be sought in, which of course is at different levels. There are times where one will work, for example, for a da'wah center, or someone will teach Quran. There's no harm in taking wealth for that one, as long as the person's intention is to teach the Quran and he takes money for it. Not that it's strictly a business, right? And other things that are not allowed under any circumstances, salah. You know, no one should get paid for praying 5 times a day, right? Or for fasting, things of this nature. So they are among the ibadat, things which can accommodate another intention, which will bring gain, as long as the person's intention is not strictly business. Right? They want Allah's pleasure, alhamdulillah, because they are dedicating their time for that particular field, then they need to also make an income. So then they pay the imam of the masjid and the muaddin and so on and so forth, because these people are taken up, they cannot get another job in reality, because of the obligation of the imam and so on and so forth. So this is just some of the examples. ويدخل في ذلك الأخذ من الزكوات والصدقات والأوقاف والوصايا. Included in that is taking from the zakah, which is not lawful for someone, and charity, awqaf, something, endowment, things that they have left for the benefit of the Muslims and things of this nature, والوصايا and covenants. لمن ليس له حق منها أو فوق حقه. The one who does not have a right to take any of it, or he's taking over his right. He has given 2%, he takes 3%. فكل هذا ونحوه من أكل المال بالباطل. All these are examples of consuming wealth unlawfully. Consuming wealth unlawfully. فلا يحل ذلك بوجه من الوجوه. This is not allowed under any circumstance. حتى ولو حصل فيه النزاع والارتفاع إلى حاكم الشرع. Even if there was a dispute resulting thereof, and this affair is referred back to the judge in court, أو the أيوة. يعني those who judge by Islam, of course. وأدلى من من يريد أكلها بالباطل بحجة غلبة حجة المحق. And also, يعني what usually happens is the person will have a strong lawyer, right? Like, you know, O.J. Simpson, back when this, you know, whole fitna happened of killing, whatever. You know, you get a strong lawyer and you somehow, you know, you're no longer a murderer, right? You know, they just find a way out for you. And in this case, in this day and time, it happens all the time. A person commits murder, right? And then they look at him and say, okay, we think that he's suffering from some mental decapitation, and this man is not mentally sound. So they continue to make testings and so on and so forth to prove that during the time of murder, he was insane. He was Majnun. So, you know, we shouldn't hold him accountable for that sin or for that crime, because he was crazy at the time of committing the crime. We don't have such thing in Islam, right? Either you are crazy, everybody knows that you're crazy all the time, or you're a sound person. But to try, you know, at the time of murder, say that he was in a state of craziness, then this is something that is far-fetched. But it is done elsewhere. So, you know, the people try to beat around the bush in order to get something that is not rightfully theirs due to some weak evidences that the other person is bringing or something along these lines. وَحَكَمَ لَهُ الْحَاكِمِ بِذَلِكِ. Even if the ruler was to say, this money is yours, and he stole the money, he brought it to court, he made it seem like he didn't steal the money. He didn't steal the money. And the judge says, this money is yours, you didn't steal it. Right? Even now, if the Qadi, a Muslim judge, gave him the okay, he is still consuming money unlawfully. Because Allah knows that he knows that he stole the money. So simply getting an approval or acknowledgement from a judge because of the circumstance of the case does not make this money lawful for this individual. فإن حكم الحاكم لا يبيح محرما ولا يحلل حراما. So the judge makes a judgment. He does not make something unlawful halal, nor does he make something halal which is unlawful. إنما يحكم على نحو مما يسمع. He only judges according to what he hears. This is similar to the statement of Jesus. وإلا فحقائق الأمور باقية. Otherwise, the reality of the affairs remain, whether the person stole or he didn't steal, for example. فليس في حكم الحاكم للمبطل راحة ولا شبهة ولا استراحة. So if the judge judges in favor of the criminal, then there is no comfort for him, nor is this a valid reason or a doubt for him, nor relaxation afterwards. فمن أدلى إلى الحاكم بحجة باطلة وحكم له بذلك فإنه لا يحل له. So if a person is able to trick the judge, so he may give him a ruling in his favor, and he does give him a ruling in his favor, it is unlawful for him to consume it. ويكون آكلا لمال غيره بالباطل والإثم. And he is considered to be consuming others' wealth unlawfully and sinfully. وهو عالم بذلك, while he is knowledgeable of that. فيكون أبلغ في عقوبته وأشد في نكاله. And this will be more means for him to be punished, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him and take revenge from him accordingly. وعلى هذا فالوكيل إذا علم أن موكله مبطل في دعواه لم يحل له أن يخاصم عن الخائن كما قال تعالى ولا تكن للخائنين خصيما. With that said, if a wakil, someone that is representing you, right, if he knows, or someone who's representing another one, if he knows that the one whom he's representing, right, is giving false charges, has given false charges, he does not have the right to argue on his behalf. Even though he's been hired by him to represent him, if he knows that the one whom he's working for has a false charge, he's lying, he can no longer represent him, huh, in that case. Rather, he has to go with the truth. He has to speak against himself and against his employer, right? Because in this matter, this is the right of Allah. And so he cannot continue, because this is false under consuming wealth unlawfully. As Allah says, and do not argue on behalf of the treacherous people. Don't, stand on their side, even if it is one's father or mother. You must say the truth in Islam. Yes, they have done this particular crime. There's no favoring, because of the blood ties, over the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was verse 188. 189. يسألونك عن الأهلة قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج وليس البر بأن تأتوا البيوت من ظهورها ولكن البر من اتقى وأتوا البيوت من أبوابها واتقوا الله لعلكم تفلحون. Do you know? Go ahead.
They ask they concerning the new moon, say they are the signs from our fixed period of time in the affairs of man and for pilgrimage. It is no virtue if you enter your house from the back. It is virtue if you fear Allah and your house through the proper doors and fear Allah daily that you may prosper.
بارك الله فيك. يقول الشيخ رحمه الله فقوله تعالى يسألونك عن الأهلة, أو فقوله تعالى يسألونك عن الأهلة جمع هلال, ما فائدتها وحكمتها أو عن ذاتها. They ask you concerning the new moon. Hilal is that banana looking yellow thing you see in the moon, which is the beginning, the birth of the new moon. This is how we know the beginning of Ramadan and the beginning of Eid and Hajj and so on and so forth. So they ask you, what is the benefit? What is the benefit behind them? What is the wisdom behind them? Or they ask you about them in essence. قُلْ هِيَ مَوَاقِيتُ لِلنَّاسِ. It is means of fixed times for the people. It is means of identifying the times for various occasions in Islam. أي جعلها الله تعالى بلطفه ورحمته على هذا التدبير. Meaning Allah, through His gentleness and His mercy, had arranged it in this particular fashion. يبدو الهلال ضعيفا في أول الشهر. You see that the hilal, the crescent, is very thin, very weak in the beginning of the month. ثم يزداد إلى نصفه. Then it increases until it covers half the moon. ثم يشرع في النقص إلى كماله. Then it continues to go until it starts going backwards, this decreasing once again. وهكذا, and such, ليعرف الناس بذلك مواقيت عباداتهم. So the people will know the times of the acts of worship. من الصيام, like fasting, وأوقات الزكاة, and the times of zakah, because the calculation of zakah over a year is also identified through the lunar calendar, the passage of 12 months. والكفارات, and the expiations, وأوقات الحج, and the time for pilgrimage. ولما كان الحج يقع في أشهر معلومات ويستغرق أوقات كثيرة قال والحج. Now because Hajj happens in a number of months and it requires a lot of time, it was mentioned in addition. والحج مواقيت للناس and Hajj as well. وكذلك تعرف بذلك أوقات الديون المؤجلات. Similarly, through that you're able to know when are debts due for the people. If you say I'll lend you this money for 3 months, then we're able to calculate, you know, the passage of 3 months and then give the person their money back. ومدة الإيجارات ومدة العدد والحمل. And the time of rental, you rent an apartment, or the time of pregnancy and the عدة of the woman after the death of her husband or after the divorce from a husband. وغير ذلك مما هو من حاجات الخلق. And other things that are needs, that are constitute needs for the creation, things that we need. فجعله تعالى حسابا يعرفه كل أحد من صغير وكبير وعالم وجاهل. So Allah made it means of calculation that are recognized by everyone, small or old, young or old, knowledgeable or ignorant. فلو كان الحساب بالسنة الشمسية لم يعرفه إلا النادر من الناس. So if the calculation was according to the solar calendar, only a few people will know it. I mean, come on, go outside and look at the sun and tell me what you conclude. You don't even know. No one will even know. I mean, it's only people who are specialized in knowing these issues. So this shows you the virtue of Islam over the rest of the religions. Even in our calendar, we have the most convenient. All you have to do is go outside. You see the hilal? Khalas. This is the beginning of a new month. And the month before ended. It's either 29 or 30 days. Right, brothers, please. It's either 29 or 30 days. There's no third option. We don't have, you know, 31 days, 30 days, 29 days. There's no such inconsistency. So we have it fixed. 29 or 30, it depends on the moon sighting. Any young, you send a boy outside, he says, yeah, I can see the crescent, come back in. We conclude that it's Ramadan the next day. So this is easy. If we had to wait for the sun, then the deen will become very much complicated when it comes to these mawaqit. So this is mercy from Allah. وليس البر بأن تأتوا البيوت من ظهورها. وهذا كما كان الأنصار وغيرهم من العرب إذا أحرموا لم يدخلوا البيوت من أبوابها. The reason why this is said, and it is not virtue or righteousness to enter the doors from the houses from the back doors. This is because the Ansar and others among the Arabs, whenever they would enter into the state of Ihram for Umrah or Hajj, they used to not enter the doors, the houses, I'm sorry, from the front doors. This was their habit from Jahiliyyah. Once they get entered into Ihram, if they wanted to enter a house, they come from the back door. They don't come from the front door. تَعَبُّدًا بِذَلِكَ وَظَنًّا أَنَّهُ بِرٌّ. And they were doing this as means of worshipping Allah and thinking that this is virtuous. This is a form of righteousness. فأخبر تعالى أنه ليس من البر. So Allah informed that this is not of piety. This is not piety to enter the door from the back, the houses from the back door. لأن الله تعالى لم يشرعه لهم. Because Allah did not legislate that for them. وكل من تعبد بعبادة لم يشرعها الله ولا رسوله فهو متعبد ببدعة. And whosoever seeks to worship Allah by performing deeds which were not legislated by Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he is worshipping Allah in an innovated manner, with innovation, and it will not be accepted. Allah will not accept this act of worship, whoever it is, and under what circumstances, it makes no difference. If someone knows that this is not from the sunnah. Now sometimes, people do practice bid'ah while thinking they are the sunnah. Insha'Allah, they'll be rewarded for their niyyah, but the act of worship itself is not going to be accepted because it is not in agreement with the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So innovations are to be abandoned. وَأَمَرَهُمْ أَنْ يَأْتُوا الْبُيُوتَ مِنْ أَبْوَابِهَا. And Allah commanded them that they shall enter the houses from their front doors. لِمَا فِيهِ مِنَ السُّهُولَةِ عَلَيْهِمْ. Because this is easier for them. الَّتِي هِيَ قَاعِدَ مِنْ قَوَاعِدِ الشَّرْعِ. Because an ease is one of the fundamental principles in Islam. That ease, the religion, Islam is a religion of ease. Facilitation. The Jews, the ruling at the time of the Jews was, if some urine was to come on their clothing, washing it would not purify it. They had to cut it and throw it away. Once urine touches something, some of their clothing, it's permanently impure. So they had to throw it away. On the other hand, the Christians have no such thing. Right? A woman would be on her cycle, and the man would pee on himself and go to the church, no problem. No wudu, no tahara, no nothing. Nobody even cares. You know, people may even do even crazier things in church, especially the priests, the Catholic priests, who are, fond of children and molesting children. And these are supposed to be the religious people among them, right? So, you know, what happens in the church goes beyond urine and feces. It's outlandish behavior from people of knowledge or people of religious commitment, or what they consider among them to be people of religious commitment. But Islam, we're moderate. If there's some urine, you know, it affects your clothes, you wash it, khalas. There's no problem anymore, right? And you do have to have some form of purification at the time of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the things that He legislated. There are things that don't require tahara, such as sa'i between Safa and Marwa and other things. Ala kulli hal, ويستفاد من إشارة الآية أنه ينبغي في كل أمر من الأمور أن يأتيه الإنسان من الطريق السهل القريب الذي قد جعل له موصلا. ما شاء الله. What we understand, what is indicated in this ayah, that it is upon the person to attain each affair, the person should try to attain each desired thing in the easiest, most practical way possible. Yani, if you have a number of options to do things, then the best way is the easiest way. Aisha radiallahu anha said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never given a choice between two things except that he chose that which was easiest, as long as it was far from haram. Doesn't mean that we do easy which is unlawful, but if you're given a couple of choices, then the easiest is the best in Islam. There are some exceptions to the rule where you want it to be easy but it is not. You want it to be easy, but it is not, and you wind up going through more struggle. That more struggle will give you more reward. That more struggle will also give you more reward, but we should not intend that. We should intend ultimately ease for ourselves. So this is one of the usul in the deen of Islam. فالآمر بالمعروف والنهي عن المنكر ينبغي أن ينظر في حالة المأمور ويستعمل معه الرفق والسياسة التي بها يحصل المقصود أو بعضها. So the one who is involved in enjoining what is good and forbidding what is evil should look into the affair of the person whom he's advising. Look into the affair of the one who's being advised and use with him gentleness and siyasa, being political, meaning politically correct, saying the right things, having wisdom, by which one is able to attain the goal or part of it, or at least part of it. والمتعلم والمعلم ينبغي أن يسلك أقرب طريق وأسهله يحصل به مقصودا. Similarly, the one teaching and the student should also travel upon the path which is easiest for them to attain what they're desiring. وهكذا كل من حاول أمر من الأمور وأتاه من أبوابه وثابر عليه فلا بد أن يحصل له المقصود بعون الملك المعبود. Similarly, anyone who tries to attain any particular thing, and he comes from the front, from the right, from the front doors, not from the back, he comes in the right way, in the right means, and he is patient upon doing so, then he will inevitably attain what he is looking for by the assistance of the sovereign, the one who is worshipped, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. وقاتلوا في سبيل الله الذين يقاتلونكم ولا تعتدوا إن الله لا يحب المعتدين. And someone who said this, read the interpretation of the meaning in English. 190. إيه أحفظك الله، جزاك الله خير. واتقوا الله، هذا هو البر الذي أمر الله به. taqwa and have taqwa of Allah. This is the virtue, the righteousness that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded. وهو لزوم تقواه على الدوام بامتثال أوامره واجتناب نواهيه. Which is having taqwa always by doing what Allah commanded and staying away from what Allah forbade. فإنه سبب للفلاح الذي هو الفوز بالمطلوب والنجاة من المرهوب. This is how one attains فلاح, success. حي على الصلاة, حي على الفلاح. What is فلاح? Attaining what is desired. Well, that's in English. Attaining what is desired and being protected from what is feared. Ultimately, the definition of success or falah in this context, whatever you want, you get. Whatever you're afraid of, you are protected from. This is falah, which is Jannah and Jahannam. Be getting Jannah and be protected from Jahannam. فَمَنْ لَمْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ سَبِيلٌ إِلَى الْفَلَاحِ. Whoever does not have taqwa of Allah has no means, has no path leading him to success. He has been cut off from the path. وَمَنْ اتَّقَاهُ فَازَ بِالْفَلَاحِ وَالنَّجَحَ. And whosoever has taqwa of Allah, he will attain success and victory. Now, so now verse 190 please. جَزَاكَ خَيْرٌ. Anyone?
In the way of Allah, those who fight you, but transgress not the limits. Truly Allah likes not the transgressors.
Barakallahu.
The first one that was related in connection with the God, but it is what was supplemented by another, verse 9, 10, item 6.
The Shaykh said, هذه الآيات تتضمن الأمر بالقتال في سبيل الله وهذا كان بعد الهجرة إلى المدينة لما قوي المسلمون للقتال أمرهم الله به بعدما كانوا مأمورين بكف أيديهم. These ayats include the command of fighting in the cause of Allah, and this was after the hijrah from Mecca to Medina. When the believers, the Muslims became strong, they were commanded to fight by Allah after they had been commanded in the beginning to keep their arms off. In the beginning they were not allowed to fight back. So the Muslims were being tortured. Some of them had to migrate to Ethiopia in the beginning, right? They migrated to Ethiopia, then they came back. Al Yasir were killed. Bilal used to be tortured. The Muslims were under, they had undergone a lot of suffering for the sake of Allah, and they were not allowed to fight back until they became strong. Then they were commanded. وفي تخصيص القتال في سبيل الله حث على الإخلاص والنهي عن الاقتتال في الفتن بين المسلمين. And in Allah mentioning fighting in the cause of Allah, this includes two things. A, being sincere to Allah. The fighting is for the sake of Allah, not for something else, not for country, not for watan. You know, we're defending the land of, you know, Palestine, or we're defending Afghanistan, or whatever. It is not nationalism. It is for the sake of Allah. If it's a Muslim country, then obviously you'll be fighting for the Muslim country. But it's the Muslim country, not the country itself. It is not fighting for the sake of hamiya, for just fever, you know, over for your tribe. People fighting because the Prophet ﷺ was asked, one of his fights for, you know, a number of objectives. He said, no, this is not for fi sabilillah. Fighting fi sabilillah is for Allah's word to be supreme. For the Allah's word, for the religion of Allah to be supreme and dominant over the rest of the religions and people and so on and so forth. Of course, After the, that's inshallah. Jazakallah khair. We learned a lesson from last week. We'll have to postpone the questions that after the death, so I will not lose the chain of thought. Ma'alash Abdul Hadi. So then, it is not for the country, it's for the sake of Allah in whatever country it is. You follow me? So ultimately it's for the sake of Allah. Secondly, in the statement fi sabilillah, the prohibition of fighting when there is fitna between the Muslims. When the Muslims fight against one another and they carry arms against one another, then, you know, if you fi sabilillah, how are you going to kill your Muslim brother? Fi sabilillah, how would you kill a Muslim brother? Right? So this is يعني, inconceivable for a believer. الذين يقاتلونكم أي الذين هم مستعدون لقتالكم. Those who fight you. So fight in the cause of Allah those who fight you, meaning those who are ready to fight you. وهم المكلفون الرجال غير الشيوخ الذين لا رأي لهم ولا قتال. Only men, not the elderly, those who have no knowledge and no means to fight. So even the fighting, it is not against women, it is not against children, it is not against property in particular, and it is not against the elderly, and not against the people of religion, the religious people. Like in the church, you know, and the priests and the pastors and so on and so forth. So then this limits jihad to a very precise group of people. This is why we understand that what happens today in the name of Islam is un-Islamic. Because people are confused. Ya akhi, why are we calling the Mujahideen terrorists? Why? How do we understand this issue of terrorism and jihad? And Muslims right now are on one of two extremes. Those who deny jihad altogether. Say, no, Islam is peace. You hear how much you hear this? Peace only. We want peace for the Jews, peace for the Christians. Even if they're killing us, by the way, the Jews and the Christians are slaughtering Muslims as we speak. Huh? But we want peace for them, and we don't want, you know, anything and blah blah. These are liars. Liars on behalf of Islam. And may Allah not give them success in their da'wah effort. On the other hand, we have the other extreme, which is those who have taken jihad out of context and applied it in areas and times where it is not applicable, right? And they have imposed their own ideologies into the teachings of jihad, and they made the only thing in Islam jihad. And they, in the process, they kill innocent people, kill children, kill women, kill the elderly. All these are forbidden in Islam. These are not allowed in Islam. So then, these are the two extremes. Either we deny jihad to please the kuffar, that's nonsense. Or we oppress the people and kill them innocently in the name of Islam, that's also nonsense. So what is the right thing? That there is fighting in the cause of Allah that we will not deny. But it is to be done in times where Islam told us that this should be done. Because you see here, Muslims are not allowed in the beginning. Meaning there must be some preparation, there must be some leadership, there must be some, the Muslims should be at a particular level where they're able to do something about it. Right? There must be some organization. It is not random and spontaneous. Everybody does his own thing. And then they were limited in terms of who do they fight against. Only men on the battlefield. Then and only then, jihad will be the legitimate jihad, which Allah promised will aid its people and its participants. So, but you know, now we are in an area and a time where one of us does not have enough knowledge to come and give a ruling, is it time for jihad or not? Allah Ta'ala alam. If the leader says we need to go for jihad, everybody needs to get up. If the imam of the Muslim says it's time for jihad, no one is allowed to stay behind. And unless, you know, they have been excused because they're people of knowledge, people will remain to teach the deen. We have exceptions in the deen. Otherwise, they may become fard ayn. If a Muslim country is attacked, Muslims who are being attacked, it's obligatory on them to fight against the kuffar. And it's obligatory on the Muslims to help them fight the kuffar. Right? So these are things that we cannot and should not deny under any circumstance. Alright. والنهي عن الاعتداء يشمل أنواع الاعتداء كلها من قتل من لا يقاتل من النساء والمجانين والأطفال والرهبان ونحوهم الحمد لله. And prohibition in transgression. Allah did not allow transgression. By إن الله لا يحب المعتدين. Allah does not love the transgressors. Included in that is all kinds of transgression, such as fighting those who should not be fought. Among the women and the crazy people that are not sound, and the children and the priests, the ruhban, the people who are dedicated for worship in their places of disbelief. ونحوهم, and their likes. والتمثيل بالقتلى, also mutilating bodies, right? Where, you know, after one is dead, cut off his nose, cut off his ears as means of revenge, not allowed. وقتل الحيوانات, killing animals, not allowed. قطع الأشجار, cutting trees, not allowed. سبحان الله. لغير مصلحة عبد المسلمين, unless it is beneficial for the believers in this particular case, يعني in certain case, but not just generally go cut the trees, burn the houses down, kill the animals. That doesn't work. عليكم السلام. ومن الاعتداء مقاتلة من تقبل منهم الجزية إذ بذلوها فإن ذلك لا يجوز. Also not allowed to be fought against are those who pay the jizya. What is the jizya? The jizya is a tax paid by the non-Muslims who are living under the protection of the Muslim government. So those who say, how did it happen with the Muslims? When the Muslims wanted to expand the Islamic empire, right, in order for the deen of Allah to be accessible for every human being, they would give the kuffar three options. Option number one is what? Enter into Islam. They gave them da'wah. If they accepted Islam, case closed. Muslim, Muslim country, then there's no need for anything else. If they did not accept Islam, then the Muslims would inform them that we are expanding. This is the command of Allah. This religion goes all around the globe. It's not a matter of owning property. It is not a matter of loving the dunya. It's a matter of having Islam available all the way around the globe. So anyone who wants to learn about Islam can. Keep in mind there was no internet, no telephones, nothing. So if you are here in Saudi Arabia and there are people in Africa who have never heard of Islam, there's no means to convey Islam to them unless the Muslims go over there. You follow me? So then this was necessary that Islam was to spread. So when they gave them the option of entering Islam, if they accepted Islam, alhamdulillah. They did not accept Islam, then they would tell them, we are expanding. We are moving. So you will be under our protection. We will be the ones in rule. They will rule. The Muslims will rule. You will be under the protection of the Muslims, where your rights are kept. You are not to be oppressed in any way, shape or form. And you pay tax. If they accepted that, then that would be what is done. If they rejected that, then it would be armed struggle. Then it would be fighting. Then jihad, in terms of struggling, men struggling against men, became the last and final option. It wasn't about bloodshed. If it was about bloodshed, you wouldn't even give him da'wah. You go in ala tool, just chopping heads, killing women, killing children, throwing bombs, if that was available, throwing bombs, killing a whole nation of people, a milk factory with things that are nonsensical, kuffar do them every day. But they have made us believe that what they're doing is right. But when a Muslim stands with a machine gun, ala tool, even us now, we have been brainwashed. When we see a Muslim with some military dress code, he's a terrorist. We don't think he's a mujahid. We see an American soldier wearing a freedom fighter, fighting for the freedom of the people in Iraq, freeing them from the oppression of who? And what have they done? Yani something crazy. The kuffar do, and then they point fingers at us. Terrorists, blah, blah, blah. And what they do is like ma'lish. Everybody should understand that is ma'lish. So we don't follow this hype. We don't fall for this. I mean, come on, we're all mature men. You don't believe this, do you? That all these crimes they're committing against human beings, innocent human beings, is fine. And when a Muslim wants to defend his right in his country, he's called a terrorist. This is ajeeb. Twisting the facts. They are the terrorists, terrorizing innocent people. Islam does not know that. Islam knows men versus men on the battlefield. And yes, Muslims will terrorize the kuffar because of their strength of iman. So when the believers come against the disbelievers, wali, they will run away. They couldn't deal with the believers because of the iman. And Allah would send angels to fight with the Muslims against the kuffar. But not the other way around as they claim. So if they pay the jizya, then you are not allowed to fight them. They say, okay, we'll pay tax, you take control. You can the next day say, well, we don't want that anymore. And then we slaughter them. So this is what other nations do. This is what Islam does not allow. We have to stick to our word, the covenants which we give to, even to the kuffar. If we give them a covenant, a peace treaty as they say it, then we have to act accordingly. We cannot betray, we cannot transgress, because we are binded by the teachings of Islam. Right? We are regulated by the teachings of Islam. It is not according to our desires. So alhamdulillah for Islam. 191-192, Allah says, وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَخْرِجُوهُمْ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَخْرَجُوكُمْ وَالْفِتْنَةُ أَشَدُّ مِنَ الْقَتْلِ وَلَا تُقَاتِلُوهُمْ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ حَتَّى يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِيهِ فَإِنْ قَاتَلُوكُمْ فَاقْتُلُوهُمْ كَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ فَإِنْ انْتَهُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ 191 and 192 please.
And yet they were ever invited and turned them out from where they had thrown you out. And as fitna is worse than healing, and fight not with him and Masjid al Haram, somebody has bought us. And this is the first time in there. But if he attack you, they kill them. Such is the prophet of the disbelievers.
Barakallah fiqh. هذا أمر بقتالهم أينما وجدوا في كل وقت وفي كل زمان قتال مدافع وقتال مهاجمة. This is a command for them to be fought in every time, in every zone. Fighting in terms of defense, defensive struggle and offensive struggle. ثم استثنى من هذا العموم قتالهم عند المسجد الحرام. Then an exception was made from the general command, which is at the Masjid al-Haram, in the Masjid al-Haram. وأنه لا يجوز إلا أن يبدأوا بالقتال إلا أن يبدأوا بالقتال فإنهم يقاتلون جزاء لهم على اعتدائهم. معليش brothers, the echo makes it here. نعم. And that it is not allowed that we initiate the fight unless they initiate the killing and they initiate the fight themselves. Then we fight against them as an equal recompense for their transgression. وَهَذَا مُسْتَمِرٌ فِي كُلِّ وَقْتِ حَتَّى يَنْتَهُ عَنْ كُفْرِهِمْ فَيُسْلِمُ. And this remains forever until they desist from their disbelief and they enter into Islam. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ يَتُوبُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then Allah Azza wa Jal will accept the repentance. وَلَوْ حَصَلَ مِنْهُمْ مَا حَصَلَ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ بِاللَّهِ وَالشِّرْكِ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. Even if they had been whatever they had committed of previous sins, such as disbelieving in Allah and committing shirk in the Masjid al-Haram, وَصَدِّ الرَّسُولِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ وَالْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَنْ, and preventing the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and the believers from making it to the Masjid al-Haram, like in the Sulh of Hudaybiyah, the Umrah of Hudaybiyah, where the believers, the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companions were not allowed to perform Umrah. So they had to slaughter their hadi wherever they were prevented and they had to go back, and then they made the Sulh of Hudaybiyah and so on and so forth. وَهَذَا مِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ وَكَرَمِهِ بِعِبَادِهِ. This is because of Allah's mercy and His generosity to His slaves. وَلَمَّا كَانَ الْقِتَالُ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ يُتَوَهَمْ أَنَّهُ مَفْسَدَ فِي هَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْحَرَامِ أَخْبَرَ تَعَالَى أَنَّ الْمَفْسَدَةَ بِالْفِتْنَةِ عِنْدَهُ بِالشِّرْكِ وَالصَّدِّ عَنْ دِينِهِ أَشَدُّ أَوْ أَشَدَّ مِنْ مَفْسَدَةِ الْقَتْلِ فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْكُمْ أَيُّهَا الْمُسْلِمُونَ حَرَجٌ فِي قِتَالِهِمْ. And one mentioning fighting in the Masjid al-Haram, it will probably be assumed by some that it is evil to fight in this, you know, holy place. Then Allah Azza wa Jal explained that the greater mafsada, the greater harm, is in the fitna of shirk, disbelief, and associated partners with Allah, وَصَدِّ عَنْ دِينَ, and preventing people from entering the religion of Islam. This is greater than killing, that mafsada, because this entails the killing of what? The killing of faith, the killing of iman, the killing of souls, whereas the other one entails the killing of physical bodies. And if you were to choose between the two, then ultimately the greatest loss is the loss of faith, because it leads to Jahannam wal'iyadu billah. Wa alaykum as-salam. So then there's no harm on the Muslims to fight against them. ويستدل في هذه الآية على القاعدة المشهورة وهي أنه يرتكب أخف المفسدتين دفع أعلاهما. And one of the benefits that we learn from this ayah, this great fundamental principle, is that if one has two inevitable evils that he came across, then he commits that which is lesser over that which is greater in order to avoid the greater one. So qital at the Masjid al-Haram is not alright. fitna of people being prevented from doing Hajj and Umrah and worshipping Allah is greater. So committing the lesser harm is to take precedence over the greater harm. Similarly, if you are in a situation where you are forced to do something that is not lawful, and you have two options, one is greater than the other, then you do that which is lesser in harm in order to avoid the greater harm. This is one in case of necessity. Not that we put ourselves in this position, like somebody asked one of the mashayikh, Mashayikh Al-Albani rahimahullah. He told the mashayikh, in the nikah, in the marriage, we don't want to bring music, right? We know music is haram. We don't want to bring music and, singers and so on and so forth. So we bring in this nasheed, right? Islamic, okay, quote unquote, Islamic nasheed. Even though it has nothing to do with Islam, except the title that they gave it, Islamic, right? It's just a form of singing, however, I'm not going to go there. He said, "Ya Sheikh, so, this is better, this is from the understanding of doing the lesser of two evils, yani singing is big evil, the nasheed with the violations, not the nasheed of the Sahaba. The nasheed of the Sahaba was poetry which is halal, which is lawful if you're saying good things, and you're saying it in a manner where you're not performing. There's no performance in Islam as a singer getting on stage, grabbing a microphone and delivering a nasheed to the people. This is not Islam. Can you imagine the Sahaba doing that? Can you imagine Abu Bakr with a microphone on the stage giving da'wah to the kuffar by singing some song, but we call it Islamic nasheed? La wallah. This was never means of da'wah. Never ever in the life of a Muslim was this means of da'wah. But today, this is the da'wah. Sami Yusuf and Yusuf Islam and others who include musical instruments in their singing, a'udhu billah, not only that they are in the field of danger, they have added things that are definitely haram. So there's no room now for entertainment or entertaining these individuals. And this is the deen of Allah. We don't compromise anyone for that. This, ya brothers, is not means of da'wah. One does not enter Islam because the voice of the brother on stage is so beautiful when he said subhanallah, right? One enters Islam because the religion made sense to him and he believed that Allah deserves to be worshipped, not because of the vocals of the person. Today, this is not the case. So when they told this to the Sheikh, this nasheed band, we have native deen, all these funny people coming on stage. They told this to Sheikh Albani. He said, "Listen, man, who told you anyways that you have to do this? You're saying that, committing a lesser of two evils. Who forced you to do evil? Why do you need a nasheed? Bring a Sheikh. Bring a alim, bring a student of knowledge. Let him give a little talk about the etiquettes of marriage and the, things of this nature. Something beneficial. So be careful. Do I think, wallah, okay, I'm not listening to music on my phone, so I have a Quran. The Quran has not been revealed for it to be a ringtone. Huh? So the ayah will begin, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. Hello? Assalamu alaikum. Ya Sheikh, khaf Allah. You will believe, hello? That's what it is?
Yes.
There's an ayah there that's supposed to be addressing someone, right? Or dua. Allahumma laka alhamd. Because this is ibadah. These are acts of worship. It is not entertainment. We don't have this in Islam as other religions. So your phone will become, either dua or something. It's not befitting. So someone says, I don't have a song. Why do you have to do evil? Leave alone the songs and the musical ringtones and leave alone the Quran. Get a typical phone, office phone, they call it desk phone. Tirrin, tirrin. Believe me, 90% of phones have that ringtone. It's called desk phone, I believe. And try it on the Nokia. The most basic of Nokias has it. And you can download other ones, from online, go through the effort. Something basic, where there's no haram in it. So this is the approach. Otherwise you say, this is better than that. You don't have to do that. There you go, this is a good one. But please turn it off. Oh, this is for real? Inshallah, all of us will have the most basic of ringtones, so we will not be disturbing, the creation of Allah, and we will not be displeasing Allah inevitably. So then the lesser of two harms is when there's a need. You're forced to consume something that is haram. Otherwise, you know, we leave it alone. Now, verse 193. وقاتلوهم عفوا وقاتلوهم حتى لا تكون فتنة ويكون الدين لله فإن انتهوا فلا عدوان إلا على الظالمين. Someone can read the interpretation of meaning in English. 193, please.
And fight them until there is no more fitna, disbelief in worshipping of others alone with Allah, and all and every kind of worship is for Allah alone. But if they cease, let there be no transgression except against السليمون.
بارك الله فيك. اي ثم ذكر تعالى المقصود من القتال في سبيله وانه ليس المقصود به سفك دماء الكفار واخذ اموالهم. Then Allah mentioned the objective behind fighting in his cause. Please, we must understand this. The objective behind fighting in his cause, that it is not spilling blood, it is not bloodshed, nor is it taking the wealth of the disbelievers. ولكن المقصود به ان يكون الدين لله. But what is intended is that the religion belongs to Allah. All the religion belongs to Allah Ta'ala. فَيَظْهَرُ دِينَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَى سَائِرِ الْأَدْيَانِ. That the religion of Allah becomes dominant and supreme over the other religions. What is the religion of Allah? Islam. Only. And every other religion is the religion of who? Shaitan. أحسنت يا عبد الهادي. The religion of Allah is Islam. The religion of Shaitan is Christianity, Hinduism, Buddhism, you name it. Every other religion and ideology and philosophy on earth is satanic. Because we have one of two things, either from Allah or from the enemy of Allah, the Shaitan. If it is not from Allah, then it's from the enemy of Allah. This is it. There's no third option. There's no third party involved. Alaykum salam. So then, the objective is that the deen becomes to Allah. Allah's religion, the true religion of Allah, the religion of the prophets of Jesus and Ibrahim and Musa, is to be the supreme. وَيَدْفَعُ كُلَّ مَا يُعَرِضُهُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَغَيْرِهُ هُوَ الْمُرَادُ بِالْفِتْنَةِ. And that this fighting is to avoid all kinds of fitan, such as shirk and the likes. فَإِذَا حَصَلَ هَذَا الْمَقْصُودُ فَلَا قَتْلَ وَلَا قِتَالٌ. Once this is attained, then there shall be no fighting and no killing. Once the fitna is gone and there's no one opposing Islam, Islam is dominant, Islam rules, then what's the point of fighting? It's not allowed. If Islam was about spilling blood, then even after Islam conquers the world, it will continue to kill its citizens. But this was never happened. Even in the early stages, when Muslims took over the Constantinople and some countries in the Middle East, where it was Christian dominant countries. When Muslims were in charge, the churches remain until today, brothers. Until today, in Muslim governed countries, the churches remain, Christians remain. If Muslims were out to kill all of them, they would have died many years ago. No church would have remained erect. They would have already been eliminated. But because they were allowed to remain, they were allowed to keep their religion, لا إكراه في الدين, no compulsion. We give them da'wah. If they don't want, we cannot force them. They may live under, in the Islamic government, doing whatever, with the exception of Jazirat al-Arab, which the Prophet ﷺ said that to take out the Jews and the Christians from Jazirat al-Arab. So this is an exception to the rule. Otherwise, Muslims lived. Non-Muslims lived under the care of the Muslims, and they used to prefer that over the rulership of non-Muslims because of the adil, the justice that Islam practiced, with the disbelievers. فَإِنْ انْتَهَوْا عَنْ قِتَالِكُمْ عِنْدَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ. If they desist from or cease from fighting you at the Masjid al-Haram, فَلَا عُدْوَانَ إِلَّا عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ أي فَلَيْسَ عَلَيْهُمْ مِنْكُمْ اعْتِدَاءٌ إِلَّا مَنْ ظَلَمَ مِنْهُمْ فَإِنَّهُ يَسْتَحِقُّ الْمُعَاقَبَةَ بِقَدْرِ ظُلْمِهِ. So then then it is not upon you to transgress against them once they desist, except those who are oppressive, the wrongdoers, then he is to be punished according to his transgression. Not without going beyond that. So with that, inshaAllah ta'ala, we will conclude this particular dars. And inshaAllah ta'ala, if we all remain alive till next week, we'll be dealing with verse 194. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك.